We might even see them just decide, hey, let's distribute movies and TV shows to Netflix. So that, of course, is essentially what Sony has been doing with a lot of their productions. And a lot of people have viewed Sony as being kind of the winner of the streaming wars by being the person who doesn't have a big streaming service. Sony prepares a bid to purchase Paramount. The Showtime app prepares to shut down. Disney adds live channels, and more on today's episode of the Shall I Stream It podcast. So thank you for tuning in, everyone. I do want to remind everyone that in addition to watching this on YouTube, we are now available on a variety of different audio platforms, including Apple Music, which is now approved and live on Apple Music. You can get this on Spotify, on Amazon Music, all kinds of different places. So I appreciate the support from everyone who goes out and listens or watches this podcast. But first, let's start out with our first story, which of course is about Paramount. Now, I previously talked about the situation at Paramount with Paramount Global, the company formerly known as CBS Viacom, which operates Paramount Plus. The gist of the situation is that Paramount is now up for sale. The company that owns the controlling stake in Paramount Global, which is known as National Amusements and is led by CEO Sherry Redstone, has been talking with different companies ranging from Warner Brothers Discovery to even companies like Netflix and Apple at different points to see if someone is interested in purchasing Paramount. This has been a long process. It's not a short process. Doesn't seem like anyone is itching to purchase Paramount. They are waiting and seeing how things are going to go before they make those final offers. But so far, the company that has stuck around in these negotiations has been Skydance Media. Now, Skydance Media is owned by David Ellison, who's the son of the billionaire media mogul Larry Ellison. This company has co-produced a number of Paramount films, including movies in the Mission Impossible franchise and Top Gun Maverick. Skydance is also involved in sports and video games in a whole bunch of different areas. Sherry Redstone seems to really prefer this deal with Skydance, but as the New York Times reported, because Skydance's proposal would give Ms. Redstone cash and Paramount shareholders stock in a new company, several investors have objected. So in comes another company, which is Apollo Global Management. They're an asset management group with billions in operating income that has managed assets for companies like ADT, Cox Media, Sirius Satellite Radio, etc., etc. This company has previously reached out to Paramount about buying the company for $26 billion, but Paramount's board instead proceeded with discussions with Skydance, reportedly over questions with Apollo's financing. Now it's been reported that Apollo, after that bid was rejected, they have gone together with Sony and are preparing a new bid that would be a joint venture between Apollo and Sony Pictures Entertainment to purchase a controlling stake in Paramount. The hope is that the previous concerns that the board had over Apollo's financing will be cooled now that Sony Pictures Entertainment is in the mix here. And of course, Sony Pictures Entertainment is a huge company that of course has experience, a lot of experience in the movie and TV field. Some of the franchises that Sony has access to includes Men in Black, Jumanji, Charlie's Angels, The Karate Kid, Terminator, Spider-Man, although those rights are a little bit complicated with Disney and Marvel. And on the television side, Sony Pictures Television produces things like Breaking Bad. Now, their IP isn't quite as well defined as something like Warner Brothers or Disney or even, frankly, Paramount, but they do have some really strong properties going on. The Sony Pictures Entertainment is an iconic brand, and combining that together with Paramount, I think, would add a lot of value to the company. Now, the terms of this deal that is potentially going to be offered to Paramount from Apollo and Sony have not been disclosed. They are still ironing out those details. But as also reported by the New York Times, if Sony prevailed in its bid, the company would most likely operate the Paramount Studio as a label within its own media empire, fusing the studio's marketing and distribution arm with its own. We still don't know what this would mean for Paramount Plus. If Sony ends up controlling Paramount, would they change the name of Paramount Plus? Would they merge it with a different streaming service? Or would they disband it altogether and instead provide movies and TV shows to other outlets like Netflix? And that is essentially what Sony has been doing in the streaming wars that we've seen over the past several years. Now, Sony, they've done different things with streaming. They've essentially gone with some more kind of niche markets. They have PureFlix, which is now a joint venture with the company that owns Great American Family. That is geared towards Christian audiences. They have Crunchyroll, which is an anime streaming service. They dabbled into a live TV streaming service with PlayStation View, but that was shut down in 2020. They also used to own Crackle, but that was sold to Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment in 2019. Side note, I did interview someone from Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment on my last episode of the podcast. Had a really good conversation if you want to check out that interview with Chris Woolsey, who is their Senior Director of Communications. But back to Sony. Sony has really taken this position where they either partner with other companies, they pursue a niche market. They haven't gone after a general entertainment streaming service the way that companies like Disney or Warner Brothers Discovery have. So if they purchase, you know, this controlling stake in Paramount and they gain control of the company, what might we see with this kind of joint venture between Sony and Paramount Global and Apollo thrown into the mix? I'm guessing something where maybe they will do a spinoff and merge with Peacock. We saw some discussions like that. We might even see them just decide, hey, let's distribute movies and TV shows to Netflix. So that, of course, is essentially what Sony has been doing with a lot of their productions. And a lot of people have viewed Sony as being kind of the winner of the streaming wars by being the person who doesn't have a big streaming service like, you know, Disney with Disney Plus or Warner Brothers Discovery with Max. Very interesting situation, and we'll see how all of this shakes out. So I do think within the next few months, we'll finally have some kind of conclusion to this whole saga with Paramount, but it is looking like Paramount is going to get sold to someone, and most likely in the process, Paramount Plus will have some sort of rebranding or merger, I'm guessing. But who knows? We'll see. And I will certainly keep you updated on this podcast and on the Shall I Stream It YouTube channel. But speaking of Paramount, another one of Paramount's properties is going to be shutting down its app, and that is Showtime, which brings me to my next story. Now, on April 30th, the Showtime standalone app will shut down. This will leave Showtime as essentially a sub-brand within the Paramount Plus universe. What does that mean? It's frankly a little bit confusing. Now, I did a separate video where I talked about how you can get the Paramount Plus with Showtime add-on to Hulu and just how confusing that is. Basically, in any circumstance where the Showtime brand was previously presented, whether it is the cable channel, whether it is an add-on to Hulu, or whether it is in, you know, integrated into the Paramount Plus app, Showtime is not used as its own brand. It is now Paramount Plus with Showtime. If you want to stream Showtime, you have to go through the Paramount Plus app. You don't have the standalone app. If you watch the Showtime cable channel, quote unquote, it is now called Paramount Plus with Showtime. It is very confusing, and it would indicate, and I would guess, and I think a lot of people would guess, that this is going to be a shuttering eventually of the Showtime brand as anything. It's all just going to be Paramount Plus or Paramount, and Showtime will not be involved with this. Now, over the past several years, we've really seen three big things over at Showtime. They had Showtime original shows, they had movies from A24, and they had a selection of sports that were mostly boxing and mixed martial arts. And we've seen all three of these things really kind of pull back. The rights to the movies from A24, those went from Showtime to Max. Last December, they shut down Showtime Sports and absorbed it into CBS Sports. We saw layoffs at Showtime and them yank some of the shows from Showtime and license them out to other platforms like Netflix, like what we saw with the show Super Pumped, that moved from the Showtime app or the Paramount Plus app over to Netflix. So it's all just really, you know, a thing where we see them scaling back on each element of Showtime. It's not the brands that it used to be. It's something that's mixed together with Paramount Plus. And this is something to keep in mind as we see these corporate mergers and consolidations going on in the industry. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, when they hear about something like this, like Paramount Plus with Showtime or Disney Plus with Hulu, they think, great, I'm getting two things combined into one platform. But what we see with corporate consolidation is that you never get 100% of this and 100% of that. It ends up being maybe 70% of this and 30% of that, or 50% of this and 0% of that. So, you know, I would say just to people to, you know, you keep that in mind as these things go on in the industry. It's just a part of the dog-eat-dog world we live in. You know, if you loved the Showtime brand and like the Showtime brand, it's appearing like, unfortunately, that is going the way of the dodo, as I often like to say about things. So, our next story, Disney is adding live channels. Now, in a move that some see as a full circle moment, kind of going back to cable, Disney Plus is reportedly adding live channels to their namesake streaming service. This was first reported by the news outlet, The Information. And from the reporting that's been done, this sounds like this is more similar to the fast channels that we would see on something like Tubi or Pluto, rather than traditional cable channels. Although in this case, it was reported that you will need a Disney Plus subscription, paid subscription, in order to watch these live channels. These will feature continuous streams of things like classic Disney films, Pixar content, Star Wars, basically the stuff you'd expect from the core Disney brands. Now, these are different than regular cable or broadcast channels, but I really wouldn't be surprised if Disney doesn't eventually decide, let's get the ABC broadcast network and include that with a Disney Plus subscription as well. Like what Paramount Plus does with CBS, like what Peacock does with NBC. Now that Disney owns 100% of Hulu and, you know, they have less cooks in the kitchen going on in their streaming empire, I would think that Disney Plus would decide that to move their broadcast network over to streaming, but we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, so I do think live TV is going to be something they'll integrate together with Disney Plus, and you may even begin to see less live TV over at Hulu Plus Live TV. We'll see with that. And that brings me to my next story, and that is that U.S. congressmen are raising concerns over the new sports streaming app that is going to be a joint venture between Disney, Warner Brothers Discovery, and Fox. Now, I've talked about this on previous episodes of the podcast, but these three companies are going to be combining a joint venture that will feature live sports networks, everything from ABC to Fox to ESPN to TNT, TBS, all of that good stuff. We still don't have pricing or really any other details on this, but it's sounding like it essentially will be like a skinny bundle of channels that focuses on sports and will most likely be cheaper than some of the competition, which that brings with it the issue here. I think, you know, the different players in the television industry like Fubo or the cable companies have long wanted to offer some kind of thing where it only had the sports channels because that's what some of the customers would like. But it's all in a package deal when they try to go to Disney or Warner Brothers Discovery or Paramount or whoever and negotiate on these packages to license and distribute their channels. So there are a variety of people who are unhappy about this potential new sports streaming service. The sports leagues like the NFL reportedly aren't happy. The regulators aren't happy. The competitors like Fubo aren't happy. And now two congressmen, Gerald Nadler and Joaquin Castro, have sent a letter to the CEOs of Disney, Warner Brothers Discovery, and Fox, raising questions that suggest they feel the new sports streaming service will be anti-competitive. Their letter states that the new sports venture raises questions about how this new offering would affect access, competition, and choice in the sports streaming market. It goes on to say, without more complete information about the pricing, intent, and organization of this new venture, we're concerned that this consolidation will result in higher prices for consumers and less fair licensing terms for upstream sports leagues and downstream video distributors. So it seems like every week there's some kind of new regulatory hurdle with this new streaming service there's more people in the industry that aren't happy. We'll see what happens. It definitely sounds like there are a lot of hurdles that Warner Brothers Discovery and Disney and Fox will need to leap over in order for this streaming service to launch. But to close out here, I know I said before I was going to move away from the streaming charts, but I do want to go over the Gauge, which is Nielsen's total TV and streaming snapshot that they do every month. There are some interesting insights here, and so we'll go through this. Now, this measures the percentage of people that watch broadcast, cable, or streaming month over month, and they've released their data for the month of March. Now, what's interesting about this, if you compare it year over year with the previous year in March of 2023, we have seen a sharp decline in people watching broadcast and watching cable, and an increase in people watching streaming. Streaming is now at 38.5%. If you compare that year over year, that's up 12% from a year ago. Broadcast television is down 4% year over year, and cable is down 10%. The press release from Nielsen does note that in the month of March, we saw an interesting increase in the amount of people watching women's basketball games year over year in the NCAA championship. I did observe that, you know, with this YouTube channel, making a video about how to watch March Madness. Year over year, I did notice more people starting to ask about the women's tournament, which is why I tried to include as much information as I could find about that in my video that I made this year. Now, as for that breakdown between how people are watching TV that are watching streaming, the biggest category is actually YouTube. That essentially the winner of the streaming wars is YouTube, this platform on which I am creating these videos. Number two is Netflix at 8.1%. And then it jumps down to 3% for Hulu. And with, you know, you've got Disney Plus at 1.7%. So with those kind of, you know, gradually merging together, you are seeing Disney being able to position itself as the company which is right behind Netflix, even if there is still going to be something of a gap between Netflix and its nearest competitor. But you've got Prime Video at 2.8%, Tubi at 1.6%. Very interesting to see Tubi there. It is a free streaming service, but they are continuing to grow. I really think Tubi is going to continue to be the leader of the free ad-supported streaming space. You've got Peacock at 1.3%. They are tied with the Roku channel and Max, and Paramount Plus at 1%, Pluto TV at 0.8%. So among all these different streaming services that are tracked here, it is Paramount streaming services that are at the very bottom. So that does it for today's episode. I want to thank everyone so much for watching and listening. I do have a very exciting announcement for my next episode, and that is that I'm going to be interviewing Roger Palmer, who is the creator of What's on Disney Plus and Disc Kingdom. He is one of the YouTubers that I watched before I started this YouTube channel and was inspired by it as, you know, someone who's out there doing his thing. And I thought, hey, you know, you could make a YouTube channel about streaming services. And now I get the chance to talk with him, and I know a lot of people watch his YouTube videos. He has a great outlet, so definitely, you know, if you haven't heard of What's on Disney Plus, go and check that out. But I will be interviewing him on this podcast, and you will get to see that interview, which I will publish this weekend. So very much looking forward to that. Stay tuned to Shall I Stream It? And as always, I thank you for watching and listening.